This is Sea Change Radio, with news, interviews, and commentary, making connections for sustainability. I'm Bill Bowie.
And I'm Francesca Rhiannon.
Seeding the solidarity economy.
The current economic crisis has created a once-in-a-century or once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity for change.
That's Emily Kawano, Executive Director of the Center for Popular Economics, which hosted the inaugural forum on solidarity economy here at the University of Massachusetts last week.
Well, we have been working in solidarity economy since 1998. And for us, solidarity economy is the administration of the common house of the family of the communities, and the common house of the society.
And that's Chilo Villarreal of the Coalición Rural in Mexico, a partner of the Rural Coalition here in the U.S. Finally, the news analysis examines the business of water. All here on today's Sea Change Radio. As our existing economy collapses under the weight of its own unsustainable growth, what economic forms will replace this failed system? Policymakers bend over backwards to prop up a broken status quo, while idealists around the world envision more equitable and ecological alternatives. The solidarity economy. That's one such vision. Last week, these visionaries traveled from around the world to the Forum on the Sustainable Economy here at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, Sea Change Radio's home. The Center for Popular Economics, also based here at UMass, hosted the gathering. This week, after the dust had settled, Center for Popular Economics Executive Director Emily Kawano visited us here in the WMUA studios. I opened the conversation by asking Emily, what is a solidarity economy and what role can it play in helping fix the current economic breakdown?
We define the solidarity economy as an alternative framework of economic development. So it's an economy for people and planet, as opposed to, you know, private profits and just blind growth. The solidarity economy is sort of built around principles instead of very specific institutions or structures. So the principles are things that most people would agree are important, like equality, democracy, sustainability, equity, and the last one is pluralism, which means that it's not a one-size-fits-all model. It's not a blueprint. Different things will work in different places. So, for example, some of the things that we would include in the umbrella of solidarity economy are things like worker cooperatives or food cooperatives or agricultural cooperatives, community-supported agriculture, credit unions, complementary currency, participatory budgeting. Those are sort of some of the alternatives that we would include in the solidarity economy. But the solidarity economy, as it would eventually aspires to be a system-wide change, would include things like tax policy, so progressive taxation. It would include things like trade policy, so a more fair and just trade system. So it's not only the kind of alternatives that lots of people think of as like, oh, those hippies are doing weird things. It would eventually include all aspects of the economy and trying to harness the entire economy for the benefit of people and planet. In terms of the current economic crisis, we're trying to frame some of the main areas of this crisis in terms of what can the solidarity economy offer. So the three areas that we're looking at are housing, the financial sector, and jobs. All of these areas both contributed to the crisis and are now in crisis. So in terms of housing, we would like to lift up, there are many, many things to be lifted up, but we're focusing on community land trusts, which is a model that that creates permanently affordable housing. And it's a very interesting model. It has a great track record. In terms of the financial sector, we're trying to lift up what's called CDFIs. That's Community Development Financial Institutions. So that's different kinds of financial institutions that are, their mission is to serve low-income, underserved communities. And there are things like credit unions and community development banks and some micro-enterprise loan funds. And their track record also is very, very good compared to mainstream commercial financial institutions. And in terms of jobs, we wanted to lift up cooperatives as a way of introducing democracy into the workplace so that the workers own and control their workplace. And in that sense, those jobs that are created are very stable within the community, and much more accountable because the workers who live in that community also own it. So it's very unlikely they're just going to sell it off and move production abroad.
So the solidarity economy is both theoretical alternatives that could be in the future, but also you're describing some very on the ground examples with solid track records.
That's right. In fact, the solidarity economy is right now much more a set of practices, and it's the theory is trying to catch up with the practices. It's a case of people looking at all this kind of explosion of interesting sort of community-based, collectively-based work that's going on that is for the benefit of communities and planet. As opposed to just profit maximization, and trying to make sense of it. And we aren't by any means there. There's a lot of thinking that still needs to be done in terms of creating sort of the theoretical framework. And it's very much in an embryonic stage. And we invite, you know, everybody from practitioners all the way to scholars and academics to help us figure out, well, what should this look like? We reject the idea that it should be the purview of only academics to lay out the theoretical framework. There needs to be a good dialogue between the community base, the practitioners, and the academics.
Now, the forum on the solidarity economy just happened, and it really was in large part dialogue, as you're describing, with a lot of different folks coming to the table. Emily, tell us about the forum, its conception and its goals going in, the unfolding of the events at the forum, and then the outcomes and aspirations going forward.
Well, so let me just start with saying that the U.S. Solidarity Economy Network, or we just refer to it as SEN, was formed in the summer of 2007. We were born at the U.S. Social Forum, and there were a series of meetings on the solidarity economy, and the decision was taken that the time was right to form a U.S. network, because all over the rest of the world, there were solidarity economy networks in countries and in on continents, and there was this international network, but there was nothing happening in the United States. So we formed this network, and so at that same time that we formed the network, we decided that we also wanted to have a meeting sometime soon. It happened a little bit later than we were planning. We were hoping to have it in 2008. You know, we had it in March 2009. So from the very beginning, we knew that we wanted to have sort of an inaugural meeting to bring together actors from all different sectors to promote the idea, to engage, to network, and to think together about what are the next steps. So that's the idea going into the forum that was conceived of from as far back as 2007.
And what were the goals going into the forum? What did you want to achieve? And then what happened in the reality of the unfolding of that? Were those goals met, or did you have to shift on the fly?
I would say education was one, just raising people's awareness and also helping people become more familiar with different aspects of the solidarity economy, both understanding what is the framework and then what are the pieces that would be included in the solidarity economy and how do they work, and taking that information back to their community. So that whole educational piece, I think that worked really well. I mean, I've already heard back from people who weren't at the forum. I've heard from them, oh, my colleague was texting me at lunch every day and telling me, you know, this is really exciting and this is what I've learned. So I think people are definitely taking it back to their own constituency, to their own movements. So I think hopefully that will seed, you know, a spread of excitement around this framework, as well as inform the very concrete work that needs to be done, whether it's forming a cooperative or whether it's organizing a workshop on the solidarity economy and seeing how you can bring the different elements together. So that was one, education. The second one was about making the connections, so networking, and that happened wildly. That was wildly successful. I mean, there was a real buzz at the forum. You could see at every break, at every possibility, people were just talking and there was excitement. And I mean, I just heard over and over and over and over again, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is great. This is great. You know, and that I've met this person and I've met that person and made this connection. So that was really successful. The third goal was to give us as SEN some guidance and to also recruit. So to build out the organization, we had at our membership meeting. So most of the forum was, you know, a public, just like a conference, right? But we had three time slots that were set aside for SEN organizational business. And we had way more people than we thought. We probably had, my guess is maybe 50 to 60 people at those meetings. They signed up for work groups. They filled out paperwork to run for the board. So I was very pleased with that. I mean, in terms of participation, that was great. In terms of setting some priorities for the organization, we got a lot of ideas. The task now is to sit down with a current coordinating committee and narrow it down and define it better.
Well, Emily, in wrapping things up, as we look right now in the U.S., we are spending billions of dollars to prop up a broken system. What is your hope in this climate of alternative systems, of solidarity economies seeding so that they can create viable futures instead of this downward spiral that we're in?
Right. Yeah. I think the current economic crisis has created an incredible opportunity. This is like a once in a century or once in a lifetime kind of opportunity for change. And it's very important that we seize the moment. And that's why one of the things that we're doing, as I started off saying, is we're trying to frame some of the elements of solidarity economy that have been around a long time, that have a proven track record, that are clearly viable, and with any kind of sort of institutional policy support could be a whole lot more viable and grow to a kind of scale and scope that would be really significant. That's why we're lifting these things up, you know, very focused around the housing and the financial sector and jobs. There's lots of other stuff in the solidarity economy that is very important. Lots of stuff around food security, sustainable agriculture, lots of stuff about, you know, democratizing the economy in other ways like participatory budgeting or complementary currency. There's lots of things we could lift up. But because of the current crisis and the need to focus on those three areas, we think it would be strategic to lift up these things, especially because these three areas are old. They've been around a long time.
Well, Emily Kawano, thank you so much for joining us here on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you for having me. It was great chatting.
Check out seachange.net. That's the letter C, then change.net, for links to the Center for Popular Economics, the U.S. Solidarity Economy Network, and the Forum on the Solidarity Economy. And keep an eye on the Sea Change site as we post other interviews from the forum, as well as recordings of two workshops I co-facilitated. You're listening to Sea Change Radio, covering the solidarity economy. The colorful wrap draped across her back caught my eye immediately at the forum on the solidarity economy. And when I saw her later in an empty room, I jumped at the chance for an interview. She introduced herself as Altagracia Villarreal, but everyone knows her as Chilo. Since 1995, she's served on the board of the Coalition Rural, a collaboration between 17 organizations in Mexico. Its partner in the U.S., the Rural Coalition, is made up of 70 to 80 organizations throughout the country. I opened by asking Chilo how she defines the solidarity economy.
Well, we have been working in solidarity economy almost with this same name since 1998. And for us, solidarity economy is the administration of the common house of the family of the communities, and the common house of the society. So it's the administration of the house. There are the old and new forms to produce, to transform, to distribute, and to accumulate, to administrate and consume our patrimony. They are open, all this, and they are in a process to recognize all the patrimony that we have, that is an integral patrimony. It has to be with the ecological part, the natural resources and the ecosystems, but also the sociological part with the people and the groups, that there are many things that are the same and many that are different. Also the historical thing, because in solidarity economy, we see too much the culture and the roots, the beliefs, the philosophy of life. And the last one is the technological part, the technique, the methods, and the technology that we use to have a better life.
So you talked about a household. Tell me a little bit more about how this idea of a household, even, you know, at the very basic level of individuals, but then you also said a household in the bigger sense.
Yes, because I said that first is the house of you and your family. And then there, if you have the administration of the house, you start after that, when you recognize that you have the administration and it's in your hands, you can look for the other families and the other houses that are around of the town or are in the organization. Mm-hmm. And if you have that, then you are not alone. Now you are near to somebody else, and then you are building something bigger. But this will be connecting with another countries, well, with another towns, regional, national, international, and all over the world.
So what I'm hearing is that if you administer your own household in a way that's just and in a way that you said earlier takes care of ecology and environment and takes care of the people in the household, that's the starting point to having our bigger house of our world.
Well, but when you get with another ones, you are going to organize. And maybe you are going to build something together. To build collective management organization in solidarity, you have to fix the production factors. That they are, the more communes are five. That they are natural resources. The second one is knowledge and techniques. The third one is work. The fourth one is organization and management. The fifth one is work. Those are the ones that you know in the economical field. But now, in the solidarity field, we have another one that we call it factor C. C factor. Because with that letter begins that words that make the explanation of it. It is communality, collective, communion, cooperation, confidence, communication, and many other words that begins with CO. And that is why we are united, but we unite consciousness, persistence, and passion. Mm. And with these three things, you can build the group and the organization. And that will help you to get what you need. Mm-hmm. But you need consciousness, persistence, and passion.
Yeah. Yeah.
I asked Chilo to describe a specific example that illustrates the solidarity economy in action. She answered in both her languages. You'll hear her Spanish underneath her English response.
Bueno, quisiera decir que things that for me solidarity economy has been like part of my life since 1972. Well, I am a Catholic missionary sister. I am a Franciscan Catholic missionary sister, that maybe I will tell you something. In 1972, we were in a convent, and we started working with the indigenous. But after we were with them, we learned a lot of them from them. And 10 years after, we had to go out of the convent. But we went out of the convent, but organized to try to look for a new way of consecrated life, because that's what we learned from them. And from them, we also learned about the economy that they have, that they share everything, and they also make trueque, interchange. I give you this and you give me that, so it's the interchange. But there's also the reciprocity, because one community is going to have a big feast and we have somebody to place here in our town. So we go to that, to the other community, and we play, and they don't pay us. But when we have our feast, they will come. So that's reciprocity. That's what we have learned from them. And since that time, we start talking about new ways of living economy. And then we start talking about the oikos, the house, oikos, that it comes from the Latin, oikos, that it means the house. That's what I said, that solidarity economy is oikos, the administration of the oikos, of the house. And then, well, we start talking about solidarity economy. And I am part of many international nets in solidarity economy. Mm-hmm. But I also still going to visit the small towns and the small organizations that invite me there in Mexico, that they know me. And I go with them and we try to look for the solution of the problems that we have. So I think that for me, the solidarity economy is to try to make all my life part of that. All that I have to share. And I have to share and not asking for money for that. I mean, maybe reciprocity. I go to talk with you or you come to talk with me and then we interchange and we get well. And what else would I say? Well, I think that solidarity economy now has been a place on the table in many of the countries. Maybe here in the United States is the first like national gathering of solidarity economy. But they start in 1997 in the World Social Forum of Atlanta. And I was there. And I am part of Mexico. Well, no, as Rural Coalition, we are part of the US solidarity economy. But now we are going to ask somebody from the United States, from Rural Coalition Organization, from the United States, to be part of the SEN, because I belong to Mexico. And because there is another organization, another big net, that is this one, that we call it RIPES. That RIPES is the Intercontinental Network for the Promotion of the Social Solidarity Economy. And in this net, we are the Latin America continent. But now it is burning the North America net, that is Canada and United States. But there is also Europe, is also Africa, is also Australia, and the Asia.
That was Chilo Villarreal of the Coalición Rural of Mexico speaking at the Forum on the Solidarity Economy at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. For links to the coalition and its partner, the U.S. Rural Coalition, as well as to the forum, check out cchange.net. That's the letter C, then change.net.
Finally, the Sea Change News Analysis examines the business of water. Water sustains life, but too much can flood us and too little can strangle us with thirst. As climate change threatens to swamp us with higher sea levels and dry out farmlands around the world through drought, we have to be more mindful in our relationship with water. The UN estimates that 1 billion people in the developing world lack access to water. That's billion with a B. And that figure is projected to grow to 2 out of 3 people in the near future. It's a matter of life, death, and justice. United Nations World Water Day was Sunday, March 22nd. A proliferation of events, forums, and reports marked the event. At the 5th World Water Forum in Istanbul, a gathering of business leaders pledged themselves to the so-called CEO Water Mandate. A private-public initiative of the UN Global Compact, the mandate is billed as a socially responsible guide for corporations dealing with global water issues. It aims to promote partnerships between businesses, NGOs, and governments, and it claims to promote transparency in corporate activity and stakeholder involvement. But water justice activists meeting at the Alternative Water Forum elsewhere in Istanbul called the forum's corporate-driven agenda hypocritical. They claim that the transnational corporations and financial institutions taking the CEO water mandate pledge are more focused on maximizing profits than solving the water access crisis. In fact, they say the two goals are in conflict with each other, and charge that the record of signatories to the mandate shows that. Coca-Cola has drained critical water supplies from Indian farms to supply its plants. Suez is one of the world's largest privatizers of water services. Nestle, PepsiCo, and Group Danone are among the world's biggest producers of bottled water, which not only appropriates large quantities of water for private use, but also has been charged with creating a major pollution problem, plastic bottles. The main problem, the protesters say, is that the mandate has no way for ordinary people to hold the corporations accountable. Since it's voluntary, transparency and stakeholder involvement is also voluntary. And the activists question whether anything short of mandatory accountability can bridge the gap between the drive for profits and the goal of better corporate social responsibility. Firms that make water their business say that in a time of declining government revenues, privatizing water brings in investment for infrastructure. Others counter that the remedy lies not in privatization, but in shifting tax revenues toward water. Is it possible to develop a business model that's both profitable and supports equitable access to water? That's a question the Sustainable Water Alliance has been pondering, and they'll be posing it at the Blue, Green, and Gold Conference on the Future of Water, Finance, and the Environment in Zurich this April. The Alliance is neutral on the issue of water privatization. They say what matters more is that there's money to invest in water and the services delivered at the lowest possible cost. For the Sea Change News Analysis, I'm Francesca Rhiannon.
Thanks for listening to Sea Change Radio.
Sea Change Radio airs on over 20 stations nationally from Alaska to Vermont.
Check us out on the web at www.seachange.net. That's the letter C, then change.net.
There you can stream or download our shows and subscribe to our podcast. You can also get on our email list for weekly updates.
And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Bill Bowie.
And I'm Francesca Rhiannon.